everybody. Welcome to another episode of Case in Point, episode 24. I'm your host, Justin Case. And with me I have my intrepid co-host, Jody Yearden.
And hello.
And we're going to be doing a Christmas film that is beloved by me, at least, not many others. We're going to be doing the Filmation, He-Man Filmation Christmas special. And so this will be a lot of fun. And we're going to just really just get right into it. Right before we do, I did have a chance, Jody, to watch episode 8. And I liked the film. It hasn't really set in yet. I know there's a lot of misgivings about the film from the hardcore fans. And I will tell you that there's so much to and fro. There's so many knee-jerk things going on, turning on a dime with the story that I really don't... I was kind of left bewildered, and I didn't know what to think about it. Even, like, formulate an opinion. What was your reaction to that, real quick, before we get into this?
I've just seen it the once, but from what you're saying is you kind of don't know what to make of it. You're not quite sure how you feel about it all the way.
Yeah, I mean, but was that your feeling as well, or did you have a more cemented opinion of it, like, well, okay, this sucks, or it was a good movie, but I didn't like this about it? My thing is there was so much material there. It was a very long movie, and it was a very stuffed movie as far as scenes and everything. The only stuff I really had a chance to think about were, like, some of the things that people with the casino scenes and all that stuff. And by the way, folks, there may be a spoiler here or there, so if you haven't watched it, don't listen to this yet until you've watched episode 8, but there's a lot of things in there that people said were unnecessary that I don't really have a big stance on. They could leave it in, they could leave it out, I don't care. I didn't like some of the character choices in there with what they're doing with the story. It seemed like there were some agendas in the movie that I'm just like, leave that out of Star Wars, please. Don't screw with my film. And that's how I feel about it. What do you think, Jody?
Well, when you say people say leave things out, like you just said, I'm assuming you're referring to me. I was not a fan of the casino scene. Overall, I liked it. I wouldn't say I loved the movie. I think going into it, the reviews were very, and I don't read the reviews, but like it was getting a very good buzz of boy, the critics really love this movie. So I guess when I sat down to watch it, I'm expecting Empire, and it's never going to. I'm not expecting that, but like there was a lot of hype behind it. So
there always
it's never
is.
Going to, and it's never going to live up to that. It's certainly not going to live up to the original trilogy, but. I liked the movie. I didn't love it. I think I like Force Awakens better than I did this. But for all the, you know, I wouldn't say gripes I have about it, at no point did I think, man, I really didn't like that movie. Like, when I left Rogue One, I was like, wow, I don't think I like this movie. There were parts of that movie I really legitimately didn't like. Whereas, I guess with Last Jedi, it was more of, I guess I left the movie theater thinking, well, there were parts of that movie that I thought were not how I would have... I guess there were parts of the movie that I thought, huh, well, that it was not my favorite part of the movie, but, like, it's okay. You know what I mean? Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, it does. I'm gonna...
I guess there were parts of it I didn't like, but nothing I was, like, angry about. Like, it seems
sure.
Like
quibbles. A lot of you had quibbles.
I haven't listened to... Like, we... Some of our podcast brethren, I haven't listened to their show yet.
Right, I haven't either.
Sauce. As of this recording, I haven't listened to their... They have a three-parter.
I know! I was like, oh my gosh.
Which I'm super interested to hear. So I haven't listened to their take on it yet. And haven't heard too much take. Most of my take I have come away from has been via Twitter. But it really seems like people really enjoyed the movie or really hated the movie. And I guess if I was going to pick a camp, I'd say I enjoyed the movie. I understand people's misgivings about the movie and understand why people are upset about it. As you said, as far as spoilers go, there's a lot of changes in this movie that I would assume people probably thought they would I would assume to some degree people had to have seen coming, but maybe didn't really want to have happen.
Explain this to me. I want to just discuss some of the thematic. The
all right, yeah, we already said the scenes that didn't.
What's that?
We're doing spoilers here. So, like Luke dying. Luke dying at the end.
I don't think he's dead. People... I don't think he's dead. I think something happened. I think that they're doing some weird crap with the Force now. These movies. And the reason I say that, I'm not saying he's not dead. I should say that I don't know without a shadow of a doubt he's not, because, and also that would fit with Snoke as well, because they were doing all of that. That those force projections where they're holding physical items and they could actually like Luke gave Leia Han's dice out of the Falcon, and there's actually physical items being transported. That goes way beyond any of the old films. They never would have done anything like that. This is a whole new dimension of like force using. And so the thing is, like, what can you believe? You can't believe now. And here's the other thing. The other thing is that Snoke being able, he claims to have been the one sending that set up that mental link between Rey and Kylo the whole time. Someone who's that powerful, they're not going to go down that easy. Who's to say that Snoke wasn't faking when he got sliced in half? You know what I mean? You could make it look that way, because like Luke looked like, you know, 20 years younger and different hair when he was out in front of that rebel base that was going to get pulverized. And it was like, there's all this force projection going on. So I guess I'm saying, as a viewer, I don't know what to believe.
Sure. That's one of the things about this movie. Like, there's a lot of, like you said, there's a lot of, disappointment on some people's parts as far as how things happen in the movie. But I think you make a good point that I hadn't really considered, is I think you have to, I guess you could, as far as some people go, you can hate the movie now, but maybe wait and pass Total Judgment until you've seen the entire trilogy, because I'm sure episode 9 is going to further explain things, as 8 did with, you know, for parts of 7. This movie attempted to explain, but let's get the whole story before we before we totally write it off or get really bent out of shape about too much of it. I had never really considered the fact that maybe Snoke hadn't been dead, might not be dead, because he looks pretty dead in the movie, you know?
Right, but that could be trickery. That could be trickery, because if you notice that in episode 7, you saw a much older and more frail Snoke that was on the projection screen, right? Mm-hmm. You saw him in, quote-unquote, in person on episode 8. He looked at least 20 years younger, if not several, like a lot younger. I mean, he was more vibrant. He was more fluid and smooth. It had more vitality to him. And I mean, and look at what he did with Rey, and look at what he did with, as far as, you know, Rey. We've established by the point, this point now, that she's like raw power in the Force. And Luke Skywalker even said so. He's like, he was scared by how much raw power she had in the Force. When they were on that island, that's why he didn't want to train her, because he's like, you could easily go to the dark side, and it's like, either way, you're almost too much for me to handle, you know? And, I mean, the thing is that you saw what he did with Kylo Ren. I mean, he sent him across the room with Force lightning like that. It looked like it's 10 times more powerful than anything the Emperor could have dished out. So, you take all these things and you stack it high, and you're like, this looks like something that Disney's doing, because if you went and killed off all these characters this soon, someone who's this big and this powerful, and you just killed them off, you're killing off your characters. If you want to ride this gravy train, you're not going to do that. You know? Because it's like, you need to have people that can either match or top the old villains from the old movies. You need to have at least a replacement for Darth Sidious, or a replacement for Vader, and you start to see how inept and, I guess, weak Kylo Ren is in the Force compared to Rey. I mean, because he almost got his butt handed to him by one of those Tupperware guards. One of those Praetorian guards, you know, the Cuisinart-looking things. He was in a chokehold and Rey saved his bacon. He was getting strangled. I mean, and I'm sitting there watching this, I'm like, you're supposed to be this big, bad, you know, Sith-type character, and you're really not that strong, dude. If anything, you're unstable and you just lash out at people. You don't focus your anger. You're not a Darth Maul who can go through. And his whole reason for being a Sith is because he wants to feed his anger, but it's focused, and he's able to succeed at things. Kylo Ren can't succeed at anything, and he's so insecure about himself that he smashed that helmet after Snoke criticized him for wearing it. You know, a Darth Vader wouldn't have done that. He'd be like, well, first of all, he'd have to wear it to survive, but he would have been like, I don't care what you think. I am who I am, you know? Go ahead.
Well, that would make sense, I suppose, if Snoke voluntarily went down to say, oh, we're going to, this guy's a, you know, he's basically a scared kid. He's, like you said, he's kind of insecure as far as things go. So if I was to, quote-unquote, sacrifice myself, being he didn't really, maybe that would help. But make it appear
so, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. That's an angle I had not considered and I had not really thought about. I suppose it's possible. I think that would... I think one of the major... excuse me. One of the major disappointments I have heard... aired, I suppose, one of the major grievances is that fact that Snoke was, you know, he was one of the big parts of episode seven that really seemed like who is this guy? This guy's essentially the new Emperor. We want to know more about him. And what's his backstory? What's it all about? And I think 8 really left a lot of that unanswered. And I think that really, not only unanswered, but if he is actually dead, it left it like, well, what kind of unsatisfactory to think like, I thought this guy was going to be a big deal. They certainly made him out to be a big bad guy in the first one and episode seven. And there really was no payoff to that. I feel like that is the main complaint of most people is a little payoff as far as that goes. And as far as the revelation that, and this could be lies, this could be the truth, we're not sure, we have to wait till 9, that Rey's parents were just junk traders that dropped her off on...
Yeah, I think that the jury's still out on that. I think,
because that was...
And how could Kylo Ren know that? How could he even know that? To make it
true.
You know? And the other thing is that Snoke, he says, I know everything that Kylo Ren thinks, I know every thought before he... You know, as he, I know everything this guy Eve's going on in his mind. How he would be able to predict that Kylo Ren is going to turn on him. You know, if he knows, you know what I mean.
As cool as that part kind of was, it was also kind of, as far as cool as like, oh wow, he did it. You know, it also came across as kind of, like you said, he knows everything. He didn't see that coming. It doesn't add up. Cheap too.
Yeah, it doesn't add up. And I highly doubt that Disney is that inept that they would have a plot hole like that in there. I don't think so. I think it would be foolhardy to do something like that because, you know, well, from at least in my opinion, if they screwed that up, that's just sloppiness on their part. I don't think that's the case. I think there's more to tell here. And here's the other thing. I'll leave with this. From my perspective, Luke said, I'll see you around, kid. I did not take that as he's going to be like a Jedi Force spirit following him around. I see that as, like, this isn't the end. We're going to finally duke it out. I'm going to put you in your place. That's what I think.
It's possible.
I could be wrong. I'm not saying without a shadow of a doubt, but it left it ambiguous. It could go either way.
Well, we definitely haven't seen the last of him. I don't think anybody
you
haven't
seen the
last
of Yoda. You see how powerful Yoda was? He called lightning down and set that tree on fire?
That was a fun surprise.
It was great.
I guess I wasn't expecting that, and that was a pretty fun surprise.
Again, it was another branch of the Force we'd never seen in any of the other films. And it reminds me of episode 1, where you had Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon like doing things with a saber, like cutting through a reinforced steel security door, or running at like super speed, or jumping up to great heights. You never saw that in the other films. You saw Luke kind of leap up about 10 or 15 feet off the ground and do this flip in the air, but you never saw him. You got to see Jedi in their prime, like from the Old Republic. Because, I mean, episode 1 and 1, 2, 3 were the remnants of the Old Republic. Because you remember in episode 4, You know, you had Governor Tarkin said the remnants of the Old Republic have been swept away, while Episode 1, 2, and 3 were the Old Republic. That was what was there. You had Coruscant, the Jedi Temple, all that stuff. And so I guess what I'm saying is that you're seeing things added to the Star Wars community that are really kind of like just enhancements of the Jedi's abilities on the light side and the dark side. Because we have these, like I said, these mental links being set up where physical objects are being transported. That just blew my mind.
Well, I think that's one of the, one of the complaints from the film is just that, and some people's mind, not necessarily me, I think in some people's mind that doesn't, some of the things that they're doing with the Force, and especially Episode 8, do not really jive with what has come before it. And I can see that, like taking on Rey. How does Rey know how to use a lightsaber in Episode 7? Everybody else has had to train for years to do that. She just picks it up and she's a natural.
Well, one could argue, well, she's just that good. And where she, but I mean, she has no. But I mean, the thing was, is like, dude, an 8-year-old kid can go into like, you know, to a costume supply store, a department store, pick up a plastic sword and pretend to fight with a sword. You know what I mean? I know that's a weak argument, but it's like, it's a sword. It's not that complicated.
And no, but
she doesn't have like that
Terakasai
crap or anything like that going on. I mean,
no, but she's like she's basically an expert. She's an expert swords person against Kylo Ren, who's had years of Jedi training, beats him. So that I can see where people get a little annoyed with that. I think back to Episode 1, where you have Anakin, who's 8 years old, and he's too late to start. I mean, granted, they are not looking at those movies. At this point, they're like semi-canon. I think they're trying to forget those kind of happened. But he was 8 years old, and he was too old for Force training. Well, this girl is in her.
What if the midichlorians spawned her? What if she doesn't have parents? What if she's like Anakin, where the midichlorians spawned her?
Well, in Episode 7, didn't she watch him fly away?
That we think of. Maybe, but we don't know. Maybe they're orphans. Maybe they took her in. Who knows? I mean, Disney has kind of left the gate wide open for all kinds of stuff, and I don't know what to think at this point, Jody.
Yeah.
You've said it yourself. They're obviously not following the parameters of the older movies, the old trilogies.
Right.
So,
they're adding, like you said, too, adding new stuff to it, and I think in a few instances that's kind of rubbing people the wrong way. They are having, you know, you're turning on its ears something that they have had established for 40 years that they've had established in their minds since they were little kids, to be honest with you,
someone else deserves a chance, though.
Stuff.
This is a new trilogy, and I think Disney's doing the right thing, and I know I'm probably going to draw heat, which I don't really care. You know, you have to do something fresh.
You've got to draw, you can draw upon that, but you need to expand upon that. I'm okay with that, too.
Yeah, and I mean, I understand what they're doing. I like new ideas, as long as they don't suck. And right now, they're tapping the fence. They're like a raptor testing the fence right now to see what'll fly and what won't. And so far, they're doing okay. You know, they're the short bus driving down the cliffside, and the roads are frozen, you know, solid with ice. You know, and you go either way, you know. I'd say that. I make that illusion because I rode a bus that was on a cliffside like that. Bus 84, everybody.
I guess if I had any, I'm not going to say complaints, but any annoyances with the movie, it was probably more in its use of humor, which, not that I'm saying it should be humorless, because Rogue One was a humorless movie for the most part, and
it was bad.
And I didn't enjoy it. I didn't enjoy the movie because of that. And this movie had, I always felt like Episode 7 had the right amount of humor and charm, as I've called it before, a certain charm that the Episodes 4, 5, and 6 had that makes it feel like a Star Wars movie.
I understand.
It has its own vibe, just like Indiana Jones movies have their own vibe, whereas you make Crystal Skull and it's kind of there. I kind of felt like Episode 8 really drew a thin line between Star Wars charm and like prequel charm.
I can see that. I can see that. Yeah.
It had this certain humor about it that worked sometimes.
Right.
And sometimes didn't. It has a very, and you know this is right, it had a very Disney charm to it. Right. It felt like
well,
a
like
Marvel
what Chewbacca said, they're eating the porg. He's eating the porg at the and that's
what
the
is
kind
he?
Of...
He already cooked it. They're giving him a sad look. He already killed it. He already cooked it. Why doesn't he just eat the thing?
Well, because the thing's watching him, and he's feeling guilty.
Well, he'd already killed that. What does he care? They watched.
Well,
him
yeah,
choke
but
it with
I think
bare
that's.
Hands.
I think that wasn't exactly on the mark. I'll agree with that.
It's just stuff like I said. It felt like a very, very Disney. I mean, it's Disney. It's Disney. They're going to do what they want to do. But there were a lot of scenes in the movie that did not feel.
Do you know
like
what was funny though? You know, one I liked.
Had a prequel feel to it.
Right. Well, yeah, and you know the thing that I did like was like when Luke's telling Rey to reach out. He tells her, "What do you feel?" He slaps her in the face with that reed. He goes, whoosh! And I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised if that was Mark Hamill improv, because he's a really funny guy. And people who haven't seen interviews of this guy and stuff, this guy is freaking hilarious. Why do you think he makes such a great Joker? Because he's hilarious. And I wouldn't be surprised if he did that on purpose, you know, like, he just did it. It was awesome. That was my favorite. That was the funniest part of the movie for me. Because I think Mark Hamill's, like, awesome. So, he's the best Joker voice, I mean, ever.
Yeah, of course, of course. There was just different stuff that, like, okay, I think it plays great the first time, but I think on repeat viewings, it's gonna not play as well. It's stuff like... Okay, with the lightsaber, she hands him the lightsaber, and he takes it and throws it behind him. That's funny the first time, but it doesn't seem... That doesn't seem very Luke Skywalker to me.
Right.
I guess he's fed up with it. He's acting kind of like Yoda, as far as, like, just kind of being a jerk, you know? Just kind of being a dismissive jerk.
Right, right.
And even the part... This is a part that I had thought about after the fact. During the end battle, where... those AT-ATs are just blasting him. He's standing there in the sand, and they're blasting him. They're blasting him, and he emerges. And you think, man, that's awesome. He's awesome. He's ducked all that laser fire, and he brushes himself off. Well, we find out 10 minutes later he's a projection. Okay,
right, right.
He's a projection. Why did he need to brush himself off? Now, granted, I'm nerd nitpicking here, but it's little stuff like that where you think. Yeah, it's just a little too cute. And it also seems less impressive that he shrugged off all that laser fire when you realize he's basically just a hologram.
How about this food for thought, though? What if he was kind of wavering in and out because it took so much effort to do that? Because think about it. If they wanted to play the storyline where that took so much out of him that he died, then maybe there were moments where he almost couldn't hold it together. And he became physical and then would recede himself just enough where he wouldn't get hit. Again, I am nitpicking fanboy stuff at this point.
Well, so am I. This is
right,
all nitpicking.
I mean, this is like, yeah, really getting into the nitty-gritty of stuff that probably doesn't matter and isn't even real. But it's from a story standpoint. But it's still fun to talk about. But no, I largely agree with you on your assessment of the movie. But you know what? I like the film. And
oh, I still liked it. I
like it better than 7. I do, and No, just from a standpoint of I don't want to watch a repeat of the older trilogies. I'm in that school. It's like I don't want to copy paste. And you know what though? I'm upset with Harrison Ford because they killed off Han Solo. That really ticked me off. And I know that Harrison Ford doesn't want to do the movies, but you know what? You should have just not done them at all. And just said, you know, Han doesn't care. He finally had enough, and he's off making his money. You know, and not even brought him into the mix. They should have left the old cast out of it. They should have just wrote it in where, you know, they're doing their thing, and they're fine, and just leave it be. Because there's no Lando. Where's Lando? They didn't even ask Billy Dee Williams to be in the movies. You know,
I don't... Well, he's kind of a B character anyways. But
not in
I
my
don't,
book.
I...
Lando Calrissian... You know what? I know they dismissed the old canon. I'm sorry, guys. I'm going on about this, but Jody, you know I'm one of the biggest Lando fans out there. Anybody who's my friend, like prior to doing this podcast, knows I'm a huge Lando fan. I mean, I have my friends send me any kind of Lando figure in the mail. I get those as presents for people. I had a buddy of mine, Kyle in Arizona, send me 2 Lando Calrissian solo novels in the mail. And he sent me like three Lando. He keeps sending me these Lando figures because he's it's kind of a running joke, you know. But he's cool, you know. And like, I mean, if you read like the prequel books, or not prequel books, like if you read like Shadows of the Empire and stuff like that, he's like a major character.
Oh, he is, but you know? He's not. I guess you have the core three there, and he's kind of he's 1A. He's a little bit below that, you know.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm going to use Masters Universe rankings here. Okay, for this, he's not a mechanic. He's not.
Stratos.
He could be Stratos, but or he could, he could be a Zodak. You know, I wouldn't say Stratos is fair. How about a Moss Man? How about I don't. Maybe you're right. Maybe it is Stratos. Let me see who I got in the wall here. Let's see. Both Stratos and Zodak are on the wall, people. So I guess it's still on the table.
I don't know. I just I forget where I was going with this before that.
I know. I'm sorry. I got you all off the rails. You know.
No, it's okay. I just I don't know. I still like Episode 7 better. I thought with 8, like the entire, I liked Finn a lot less in this movie than I did in Episode 7. I thought he was very charming in 7. He was a lot of fun. His entire plot line was really just seemed kind of like filler in this movie. The Canto Bight, as it's called, Casino Planet, just seemed very, very prequel-y and very drawn out and very unnecessary. Well, that little guy with the suit on, that is just like,
didn't those coins? Well, there was some imagery going on there. They looked like bitcoins. It was in that casino. Those looked like bitcoins. They were throwing around. Maybe I'm nuts, but
now I will preface this by saying the Canto Bight theme that they play in the casino is my favorite piece of music from either of the new two movies. I really like that music.
It was pretty funny.
It's a very Mos Eisley cantina.
It's a very George Lucas esque kind of music.
Yeah, but I don't know. Finn's role, and I would say I think Poe. I really felt like they got the short shrift in this movie.
I liked them both in the movie. I thought they both did a great job. I'm a big Finn fan. I'm a big Poe fan. And the thing is, the thing I didn't like was you had these two snobby old ladies running that supply ship. Okay?
Yeah.
And it's like, here's one big grievance I have, okay? Leia gets sucked out into space, okay? How does she wake up? Is she using the Force? She looks like Mary Poppins going back in through that airlock again. How is that possible?
Yeah, she's using the Force.
Yeah, well, guess what? You know, the Battle of Endor, she didn't use it.
Well, she didn't really know she had it at that point.
So, therefore, I guess she's had time to develop those skills between
films?
Yeah,
it's been 30 years.
She must have got her hands on a holocron then. She's old, so that means it makes her an automatic master of the Force.
Yeah, she can float around. Why she didn't like use that to her advantage to help out maybe a little bit?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm getting at.
Dog fights, dog fights and stuff. She maybe could have tried a little harder while all these pilots and stuff were getting wiped out. Maybe she could have tried something there.
Yeah.
Instead of yelling at people, but.
Or no, you know what? If she's that strong in the Force to cheat death, she probably could have screwed with Kylo Ren's head, or some of the people on the dreadnought ship. So that Poe wouldn't have to go out there and cause, 200 such ships to get destroyed. And we could keep going on all night with this, Jody. All right, buddy.
We really could.
All right, everybody. Well,
I gotta get one more thing in here.
Sure.
Poe sat on that ship the entire movie. He didn't have anything to do.
Except argue with the lady he argued with Laura Dern, the lady with the purple hair. They should have had her dad. They should have had Bruce Dern on there instead. He could have been Darth Rumsfeld. And we'll have you been hit?
That I would have liked.
If that Wookiee gets out, you're gonna staple his ass shut.
No, I just thought he said Finn was over on the other ship and he didn't have anything really to do the entire movie. I thought they had to take a bit of a backseat for Luke's story, for Leia's story, but I thought that between Poe and Rey and Finn, who I like all three of them a lot, I thought that they were a lot less. I thought they were they had less to do and were a little less interesting this time around.
Well, they had to make room. They had to make room for the two old maids on the supply ship. So
yeah,
and that's
conversely. I liked Kylo Ren more in this movie than I did in Episode 7. I thought he came across a little less whiny. I thought with the mask, I didn't really want him to lose the mask because it's a pretty cool mask. But I thought,
it helped him out a lot. Yeah, a bittersweet there. I feel the same way, and I'm a huge Kylo Ren fan just because he's such an inept villain. He's like the Skeletor of Star Wars, in a way. Not as funny, obviously, but. He is just as inept. He tries so hard to do something horrible, and he can't do it. It just, right. But that just adds to the appeal of the character for me. I've always liked the villains that are such horrible failures at what they're trying to do, you know? And it's like, yeah. I mean, overall, I agree with you 100%, Jody. And I think that episode... 9 is going to really answer a lot of questions. And you know what? If people still have complaints, that's fine. I mean, you're never going to get the perfect movie. And I'm not making an excuse for anybody. I'm just saying that I think that it was a solid outing. And I know there's hardcore fans that are upset about it. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm not emotionally in the franchise. Because I recognize it's a new trilogy. It's not going to be the old stuff. It was a entirely set of crew that did those movies. You can't expect it to be the same. You know? I mean, and I'll just leave it at that. I mean, I agree with you, Jody. I think that Poe and you know, it's... Finn got... They're stronger characters than that. And 7, they really started... Episode 7, they really started to build them up. And they really didn't use them as much. So that was a puzzler. But I guess you could say you have all these characters to develop... It's kind of like a tug of war, man. Think about the
writers. Yeah, there's a lot going on, right? They had less to do this time, but they had to fit in the Leia stuff. They had to fit in the Luke stuff. I think the Kylo Rey stuff really got explored a lot more. So,
I guess it took a
bit of a backseat, but you're gonna see him step it up a little bit in Episode 9. So. It's just quibbles. It's not really anything too bad. Yeah. You know who I do really like. General Hux.
Yeah, he's great. I think he's gonna try and stab Ren in the back. He's gonna try and stab Kylo Ren in the back. You know he's gonna try something.
Did try something, and he was like, "Well, oh, we're not gonna have that. We're not gonna have that." What happened to Chancellor Snoke?
Wasn't it crazy when he lied? He goes, Rey killed him. It's like, oh, but that was a very weak alibi. And they made those Tupperware guards too friggin' tough. They should not have been that tough.
I guess they were, when you look at the marketing for the movie, they are, for such, like, C-list characters, they are all over, they're, like, on the poster, they're all over the place. I guess they have a cool look to them, but, yeah, they were...
Yeah, if you like Tupperware.
They seem to have a...
I like them, too. No, I do. I'm staring at a Praetorian Guard action figure right now. So, I rest my case, which I did not order. Amazon sent it to me, and then I ended up paying for it anyway, because I kept it.
Here, we knew you liked this, you sucker. Go ahead and keep this.
Exactly. It was an upsell, and they didn't really sell it to me. They shipped it to me and charged me
They sent it to you by mistake?
Yes, and then they charged me for it, because I didn't send it back.
Oh, I was going to say, well, you
I was going
to
send
me.
It back, and then
I'm
I...
keeping it.
Well, no, I was going to... I couldn't figure out how to pay them, and I was like, I was just going to send it back, and then I was going to do that, and then all of a sudden, the next thing I know, my wife's like, oh, yeah, they charge you for that. I'm like, eh, that's okay. I was going to keep it anyway if, you know, I would just say, hey, guys, I'm happy with the product, and bill me anyway. It's fine. And so I was like, so I have one, and it's cool. But it looked to me on the film that there was another... It looked like there's more. There was a second type of Praetorian Guard, and it had more of a weird-looking soap dispenser type headpiece to it. It was more squat. It had like a bent, like a taco-shaped top to it, and then, yeah, which I didn't see a Black Series figure for that, but I'll have to look into that. Anyway, I'm a huge collector of these things. I have tons of Black Series Star Wars toys. I think they're awesome. And, like, I get them from gifts, and then I get them on clearance and stuff. Oh, it's the best. And, yeah. I have, like, the big TIE Fighter, the First Order TIE Fighter, the huge one. If it's 2 6-inch pilots, I've got that, and that thing's great. I love that thing.
Are you a mint on card? Just for the listeners, are you mint on card or a loose collector?
I get all of them with the... That's the great thing about those boxes. I opened them up because I wanted to display them. But the boxes, you can easily put them back in the package and put them back in the box if you're moving.
Well, that's good.
Or you can hang them on pegs or put them on the wall. It's not the clamshell where it just tears off. So
that's good.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think Hasbro's doing the fans a favor because there's a lot of... Gentle Giant is a toy company that does the resealable clamshells. There's a few others out there. I know Super 7. They're a small indie company from San Francisco that's doing Masters Classics right now. I know they're going to start doing clamshells at some point. I think it's great. I think the Black Series is probably the finest retail line of Star Wars figures ever made. I think they're just fantastic. The level of detail. I'm looking at the Luke Episode 4 Land Speeder right now. It's got all the damage to it. It looks like it stepped right out of the movie. And then I've got... my wife got me Rey's Land Speeder with, like, the net for the junk collection on the side. I call it the Floating Popsicle. She got me that one. And it's great because she's got, like, the dirt mask and the goggles and the whole headpiece. It's fantastic.
We have a Lego set for that vehicle.
Yeah, I mean, the Lego sets are, like, amazing for this stuff. I mean, And that's the other thing I'm going to say is, like, we have these new movies. We have new reasons to have cool toys out for these now.
Yep. I mean, and they reproduce the old stuff. They have the new stuff. Yeah,
it's my son's loving it. My son loves Star Wars. And, my daughter's old enough where she's getting into it. She likes the Galactic Heroes and stuff and all that. I mean, it's awesome, you know? So, yeah. No, I'm glad that I'm fine. I actually got to watch Episode 8 and... because there was a lot of people that saw it way before me, but I was busy with work and I had to wait for the crowd to go down first.
Well, so. You really weren't too late to the party as far as that goes.
Right. Yeah.
Could be worse.
Yeah, I went to this theater they got in Pasco, Washington that has it's Richland. It's kind of like a state-of-the-art theater for the sound, and it's the kind of sound, it's like this, I can't remember what it's called, my wife knows what it is, but... It's this kind of audio where it's 3D sound all around you. And let's say there's an explosion on screen. It has this way you feel the sound, right? And the seats are all like leather reclining electric seats with trays that swing out in front of you. And I was sitting there halfway through Episode 8 and realized I was in one of those chairs. I'm like, oh yeah, these recline. That's right. I'm not kidding you, dude. You're sitting here watching a freaking... Are you molting over there? What's going on?
Got it. Go ahead.
Are you oiling your hip? What's going on over there?
No. It was my dehumidifier. It was very loud.
Okay.
Shut it off.
Anyway, I'm done bragging about the movie theater I watched Star Wars at. So let's get on with this. Let's get on with this. This movie commentary.
Yes, let's do that, and let's let the people know we are watching this via YouTube. It's the He-Man and She-Ra Christmas special. It's on YouTube.
And it's not a plug. That is not a plug.
No. No. And it's from He-Man. He-Man Official is the uploader. So
yes,
this
not
thing's
a plug.
On the up and up. It's very good quality. And if you want to watch along with us, you can do that.
Yep. And so, all right, Jody, synchronize our watches here.
All right. Are you all cleared out? You ready to start at zero?
Let me get my... I dropped my Xbox controller using a 360 on an old CRT monitor because that's how I roll. I could have a nice flat screen on my wall, but I like CRT monitors to watch wrestling. Thank you very much. Okay, here we go. Ready?
Ready?
Set. Go.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see what we got here. I guess I need to turn down Lou Scheimer's voice here.
Is he doing the voiceover?
Yeah, he did a ton of them. I think he did King Randor's voice.
Now we're getting a good look at Snout Spout.
Flutterina. Cringer's looking under her dress. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, there's Rayman getting dirt swept in his face by Madame Raz and Broom. That's awesome.
Perfuma?
That's Flutterina.
Yeah, you're going to have to help.
And then there's Glimmer, who's holding the other end of the...
Especially on the She-Ra side. I've seen this special, I think, once.
She's got a... See, there's Pika Blue. It's like the peacock looking lady. There's Bo.
And Jack of Hearts. Is that his name? Or is it Bo?
It's Bo. Jack of Hearts. I just got a commercial, Jody.
Oh.
This is not going to work. You guys suck. That's an anti-plug right there. Okay, so Pika Blue's painting the wall. There's the Burger King, a.k.a. King Randor. David Crockett. I'm terrible at commentary right now. Clothesline, body slam. Here's Ricky Morton.
All right, what are you looking at now?
Okay, so I'm at... Orko is looking at the spacecraft that Man-at-Arms and Prince Adam are tinkering with when they should be at the party.
Yes.
The Sky Spy.
I have to tell you, Orko was always my favorite character when I was a kid.
He's my daughter's favorite character, you know.
Yeah, he is the Jar Jar of the Masters of the Universe.
Yeah.
Universe. But I always thought he was great. He's got a cool look about him.
He's a cool character. I have the art book, which has... It's the character guide book that Dark Horse put out, the big hardcover. It actually shows you what Orko's face looks like.
Oh, hey, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, and it's like it's not like some cheap fan thing. It's legit. That's pretty cool.
That's quite a selling point if I've ever heard one before.
Yeah. I think it's cool.
Excuse me. Did you have a beat up VHS copy of this when you were a kid?
Oh, I had the beat up VHS from the USA Network, which we taped this on, which I watched almost on a weekly basis, even though it wasn't Christmas.
Well, understandable.
Yeah, because I mean,
that wasn't it.
Go ahead.
It's one thing our kids will never understand is it really what you have an affinity for. Like I said here a minute ago, I've seen this. This is the second time I've ever seen this. I never watched this as a kid. Not because I wouldn't have wanted to watch it, but it's one of those things. If you didn't catch it at the right time, I mean, he may have had, 83 to 87 was the window, and then it's out. So if you didn't get somebody to tape this for you by the time you were six, you're out of luck.
83 to 87 for the toy line, yeah.
Well, yeah,
actually, 81 to 87. I'm not going to get into it. Never mind.
Well, I was born in 81, as were you, so I wasn't too into it when I was a baby.
You see that craft that Skeletor's got?
Yes.
Super 7 might be making a toy of that, which I would be over the moon if they did. Because Hasbro
That's not something that's ever been produced, right?
Never. Now, no. if there's a prototype sketch out there for, or prototype out there, I'm not sure if I haven't seen one. But Super 7 just put out He-Man.org, excuse me, not a plug, actually put out a survey. And Super 7 wants the fans to know, the people keeping this line alive, what they want figures and vehicles of, and that's on the docket. There's probably about 300 items and characters on there that they were asking people about. That would be a great vehicle to have. That'd be fantastic.
What is He-Man currently riding? What's that vehicle called? I believe I had that.
Oh boy.
Webster making an appearance.
Webster.
I really
like Spike Orr, too bad.
Too bad. I was a big Too Bad fan.
They designed it toy to have each guy punch himself in the face.
Yes, I like that feature. I was a big fan of that when I was a kid. Spike Orr. I liked Spike Orr a lot too.
Oh yeah, he was.
He had that mace. He had a mace for a hand, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yes.
The toy was built into his arm.
Yes. Watch out below for those tendrils that he just cut off. he's just kind of slicing those things off where the chips fall. No, as I was saying, like, this is a special I never saw as a kid because I probably just missed out on it, and if you didn't get somebody to tape it for you while it was on broadcast TV, you're out of luck, you know, until the age of YouTube and DVD, or I suppose there's probably a VHS rental copy someplace, but these were never things that crossed my path, so I missed out on this.
Yeah, I mean, I was in the right place at the right time, you know what I mean?
I knew next to nothing until I read, this past year, I read the He-Man mini comics collection, which I'm sure you have as well, hardcover.
Oh, yeah.
Mini comics collection that reprints all the books that came with the toys. That is the extent of my She-Ra knowledge.
I have all of the hardcovers that Dark Horse put out. I pre-ordered.
They're nice. I'd like to get them all. Yes.
I'm sure they're probably. You can probably still get them. They're a little.
You can. They're like $30. They're not. They're reasonably priced. Now we've talked Masters of the Universe. Put on this parachute. You get lost. Just throws them out.
I don't need this. That's what you think.
Now, doesn't really. You would think Webster would be more a little more adept to that, right? Because he has all the climbing gear. So you'd think he would be able to figure something out there.
No one said he was intelligent.
These guys are intelligent.
No, they're Skeletor's henchmen. They don't have a brain in their head. That's a jet sled, I think. I'm trying to see if they made a toy for that. I thought they did. Nope, Jet Sled was a different toy. Holy crap. They did not make a vehicle for that.
I'm getting a good look at Duncan.
They got this one vehicle called the Bashosaurus. The guy goes, oh yeah, we called that the Ball Buster. I'm gonna have to go dig into my archives now, get my hardcovers out and figure out what vehicle that was. Hang on, I got it right here. Hang on a second. I have the internet.
Now he has landed on Earth, right? Orko's landing on Earth?
Yes, yeah. He opened up some kind of temporal rift, and he went through it.
Now, a neat when we get to see him here in a minute. I'll wait till they make their on-screen presence known. But one of the kids here. Yeah, there's the little boy. Were you aware that one of the little kids here, the little boy, he was voiced by, I don't have the actor's name in front of me, but one of Ralphie's friends from A Christmas Story. Did you know that?
No, yeah. That's pretty cool.
Not Flick, the other kid.
Schwartz?
Yeah, Schwartz.
Really?
Or which one that gets his tongue stuck?
That's Flick.
Okay, so yeah, Schwartz.
I can hear the voice. Yeah, you're right.
Schwartz told me this week. Yeah, Schwartz. Schwartz now, told me. Two blocks away, Schwartz was getting his.
Okay,
so that. Why, Jay, my I say? So that little boy, I mean, that's a Christmas classic, too. So that little boy has, well, he's a little boy. He's probably a 40-year-old man at this point. But he has the distinction of being part of two Christmas traditions.
Yeah, I mean, that's quite the dossier. That's pretty nice. Mm-hmm. Jody, that's killing me. I gotta know what that vehicle is.
So move on!
It's like Shatner, get a life, come on. It's just a show.
Now you'd mentioned briefly earlier, you called King Randor Burger King. I always thought King Randor was a Burger King when I was a little kid. Think that.
That's great.
Before they moved on to, you know, the BK Kids Club and Kid Vid and Jaws Kid and Vid. Wheels and any other offensive stereotype they might have.
That's so bad, Jody. It's so bad.
It's really. Can you believe they got away with that?
I was a member of the Burger King Kids Club.
So was I. I remember getting a starter kit in the mail that remember had all that? These stickers with it.
And it was all like this secret. I'm like, this is a secret file. I got to take this to the chicken coop and open it up.
They came with these stickers and I never used them because I thought, oh, those are one-time usage. I don't have anything good enough to put them on. I might have eventually stuck them in a sticker book, I think, that I looked through recently, now that I mention it. And you'll look through and laugh and go, oh, yeah, there's IQ. He's the nerdy kid. The most offensive stereotypes possible. This kid's a dork. Let's call him IQ. Give him his glasses. He's a nerdy kid, and he likes chicken tenders.
Nice. Is that the kid that had a calculator?
Yeah, they like, let's just make him look like he's wearing his father's coat. And we'll give him glasses, and he'd be just really, really dorky.
Yeah, the one kid had that kid and play haircut.
Yeah, that was Jaws. Very
okay,
offensive.
Jaws, that's right.
Jaws and Wheels and Kid Vid. He was the cool.
He was 90s futuristic. He wasn't really.
Yes. He was Zach Morris cool.
Yeah, Mr. Brick Phone. Charge it to Richie Belding? He charged all those pizzas to him. It was awesome. Anyway.
So right now, Orko is learning the meaning of Christmas, correct?
Yes. I'm
trying to show him what Christmas is about.
Well, the kids are teaching him because he doesn't know, yeah.
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 That hug between Adam and his sister is a little uncomfortable.
Why is that? I'm getting all defensive.
A little too close.
What's the problem? It's like Judge Judy. So?
I gotta tell you, the She-Ra jingle, super, super catchy.
I friggin' hate Granted, this song. I hate
oh,
it.
Oh, no, I love it.
I know I've you would. This, you probably like Gem, too. Another Filmation
yes,
class.
Of course.
Yeah, see? See, I knew it. You probably
it's
have
excitement.
The Hallmark Gem ornament on your tree.
I do not. I didn't
Well,
even
I do,
existed.
So it's fine.
No
comment. No,
this She-Ra song is so played in this thing. Like you said, I've seen this once, and that song has stuck in my head ever since. That was probably a year ago, 2 years. I think we watched this last Christmas.
It's back on Netflix, people. Both He-Man and She-Ra are on Netflix.
Yes, but not this.
No.
Oddly enough, this is everything else is on there except for this. This you've got to go to the free public domain of YouTube to find. Odd.
You know, I will plug He-Man Official. Great channel, because they have painstakingly reproduced the soundtrack from the cartoon series, which nobody offers in its entirety, for not only He-Man, but also She-Ra. It's amazing. So if you're a hardcore soundtrack person like me, you can go and stream this whole thing. It's awesome. Great background.
Now to watch this, I turned on YouTube's closed captioning.
That's
right?
Remiss
and
to everybody.
It is the wording of a mad person. It is not accurate to any degree.
That's Mermista, Jody, just so you know.
What?
The mermaid lady, that's Mermista.
I can barely hear you right now.
That's Mermista in the water.
Mermista?
Yeah, Mermista, like mermaid.
Yes, I got that.
I'm gonna hold my phone up like that. Kirk Enterprise.
Now, what's the name of She-Ra's horse? Isn't it
a swift wind when it's transformed, and spirit when it's just a regular horse.
It's named after one of the lamer G.I. Joes.
Windmill?
Sorry. No, spirit.
Oh yeah. I'm not gonna bite into that apple, dude.
He was a member of Slaughter's Marauders, so.
Yeah.
And he had an eagle.
And eagle. Now, She-Ra has to get the crystal that is in the depths of this water. And I believe this crystal will allow Man-at-Arms' device to bring Orko back onto Eternia. Now, what Filmation would do is they would use a lot of stock animation and then recut around and overlay some new scenes with it as I bump my microphone.
Sure. I already noticed the part earlier. It's that part that they use all the time where He-Man gets really close to the camera and it's his face and his hair's kind of moving around and he does the punch, you know? Yeah,
exactly.
They did use that for this.
Right.
And every other episode of He-Man.
Mermist is hot. That's fine.
Get a thing for fish broth? Oh, that's funny.
I had to throw that in there. I got another one, Jody.
Another ad?
Holy crap. They must know I like to spend money. Jeez.
All right, I'm pausing, and I guess we'll ask the viewers to do the same. You let me know when you're back.
I'm back. I skipped it. A huge crevasse just opened up in the ground.
Yes, I'm just a second ahead of you.
Okay. Now those are the, I can't remember the name of these things.
Robot. Aside from He-Man, who was your favorite, like, secondary character? That would be one of my only complaints about this, is that they really don't get, like, it's He-Man, She-Ra, and a lot of his friends are not really getting a lot of airtime in this. Even like, more prominent guys like Ram Man or, even Duncan doesn't get a lot of airtime in this, but certainly more than, say, Snout Spout, who's back at King Randor's King Randor's castle, hanging up tinsel. Oh no! Excuse me. What is the Christmas like holiday on Eternia? What is that called that they were celebrating?
Oh boy, I'm trying to remember.
It's not like Life Day. That's Star Wars.
No. Gosh, I'm gonna have to look it up, Jody. I'm like Tony Schiavone now. You know, I don't really remember.
Worked a great, great show, Justin. Thanks. What do you remember? Even She-Ra as well. You've got Mermista, I suppose, getting a little bit of play on this. Have you seen every episode of She-Ra? As you have, of course, He-Man.
Yeah, I have all the DVDs.
Spin kick. She couldn't have just walked up to it and punched it. She had to load the boot. I was always a big Duncan fan.
He's awesome. He gets it done, man. He's very practical. He just gets it done. He's a no-nonsense guy. He makes it happen.
Now, Orko just told those little kids to not be scared. They're looking at a... They're trusting some sort of blue-haired demon ghost wearing a pointy hat with no face to walk through, like, a time portal. Well, we got lost in the snow. Let me trust this goblin to travel to another dimension.
Well, it's okay. They still have their Christmas tree, so it's all right.
Yeah. I love how much of a pansy Prince Adam is, and I like the Prince Adam voice.
I know, right? It's like, hey, Cringer, come back. That's my first attempt.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
I play it in my head, and I just try it, you know. Now, Lou Scheimer as the voice of Horde Prime. And what they did is they ran that voice through some heavy audio processing.
Now I hear it's Spirit. Now this is what. Oh, I missed it. It said, "I'm like I said, the YouTube closed casting is terrible. Right? It's not even close to great." And at one point, it just said something about an Italian prime roast beef sandwich.
Oh my gosh. I'm so kidding. Off the track, man.
I couldn't even get it out fast enough to explain what I was reading to get it out. But that's what it said. When the Prime Horde was Horde Prime was talking, it said something about an Italian roast beef sandwich.
maybe if you had YouTube Red, it'd be more accurate, you know. That's extra.
Who's Santa? Who voices Adam and He-Man?
I love that. Who's Santa? Who voices who?
He-Man and Adam.
He was an older guy. John Irwin was the guy.
Huh.
Yep.
I was a big fan of the Hordak when I was a kid.
So Hordak's voice, he's the gentleman, the same guy that was Marty McFly's grandfather on Back to the Future. They hit him with a car. Marie, got another one of these kids right in front of the car. It's that guy.
You bone brain. Now, I always liked Hordak. And I like the prospect of adding like a third, like you've got good evil, and then you've got like this third wild card faction.
Well, it's the Snoke of the Horde Empire, because you've got Rux versus Ren being ordered by, you know, Snoke. It's that kind of setup. They're always competing.
I would have given it more of an NWO Wolfpack, but okay.
Nice. Look at that horrible instrument Bo is playing.
Yeah, he sucks.
This song is terrible.
It's funny because
that's Perfuma.
You know, they're little, yeah, very useless powers. In the He-Man comics, in the toy comic, the mini comics, they had to come save him, which is pretty funny. Not that girls can't come save guys, but like he's pretty strapped. Look at him; he's feeling confident enough to wear a half shirt with nothing on underneath it. And
his moments. I mean, but this particular feature does not cast him in a very masculine light.
He's a minstrel.
Yeah, he's a minstrel. But he's a marksman. He's actually pretty good when the chips are down. He doesn't have any like special powers, but he's just he's kind of like the Hawkeye of the Rebellion. You know, he's
Green Arrow without all the
money. Yeah.
Yeah, not being a jerk.
Yeah, exactly. Now, he is jealous of. He has a huge crush on Adora, big time. Look at that vehicle! It looks like a peanut. It looks like a Well, you can take your pick what you think it looks like, but it looks like a goiter or a gourd. See, when he winds that bow back, he looks pretty good. He looks like here's a guy you don't want to screw with. It looks like a gourd with a propeller on it.
It looks like a stress ball that somebody stepped on, and part of it goes one way and part of it goes the
other
way.
Or like a clown shoe.
Yeah, it looks like a clown shoe.
He stepped in the middle and it bulges out. Whoever their engineers are on the Horde Empire, they need to work out their drawings.
Apparently that's as aerodynamic as it gets. That was what the Chief Engineer Leech decided on, and when he was
the Horde propeller wing. Looks terrible.
Yeah. You can't decide, what exactly.
What am I looking at? It looks like. All I know is it flies.
It really does look like a clown shoe.
It's all tilted upward. He's got to slow down.
It was
look how ergonomic that is. Look how ergonomic it was. He grabbed it right where the groove was.
That's why they designed it like that. They decided to design it in such a way where a giant robot could pick it up rather than putting on landing gear.
It's got a very Dr. Scholl's look to it. You put in the archer shoe.
Did you have a slime pit when you were a kid?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I always wanted it. The ads for that thing did a terrific selling job.
Yeah, I got it secondhand.
But look at him run away.
Yeah.
He's like Shaggy fashion. He's supposed to be very scary and evil, and he did the...
Drop of a hat, like he's Shaggy. Gone. Yeah.
He looked like such a... He looked worse than Skeletor did.
It's like that Coors commercial I sent you with Terry Funk. He throws that pitch so hard it makes the catcher's mitt explode.
Now what's this lady's name?
That's Peekaboo.
Oh my gosh, that's terrible. Peekaboo. Yeah, I remember reading those mini comics. Some of these She-Ra, some of her supporting cast, they were really scraping by on ideas as far as powers and things go.
Yeah,
it's pretty bad when they make somebody like, Mechaneck. What's his power? He's got a robot neck. He can look 6 feet higher than he is.
Mechaneck,
like that looks more enticing than
you remember that.
You know,
well, the 2002 series, like Mechaneck, provide reconnaissance. Ning 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 ning.
That's all he's good for, is he has a long neck.
They devoted a whole episode to him complaining about that. He's like, put him out in right field. He's not good enough to be a shortstop or a second baseman.
Now, is Cutter... Oh, that's what he's good for. Is he a She-Ra supporting cast member, too?
They've meet him for the... Well, it's the Mancheens. This is the only time you see them, I think. I'm sure there's hardcore She-Ra fans that... probably say I don't know what I'm talking about.
I'm sure there are some hardcore She-Ra fans who are definitely not listening to this podcast.
Probably not. They're too busy dusting their She-Ra figures. That's Lou Scheimer, I think, as well. Oh no, that's Alan Oppenheimer. Who does Skeletor's voice.
Right.
Also Man at Arms' voice.
Gotta love the sound effects.
What?
The Filmation sound effects.
Yeah. Which, a lot of these were taken from the Filmation production Star Trek animated series.
Oh, really?
So they created those.
I've never watched any of that.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It has all the original voice actors, except with the exception of Chekhov. But a lot of the...
All the names you were going to mention... That was not the one I was expecting. Except for Chekhov, of course, who was big-timing them.
Yeah, right? Yeah, Walter Koenig's got bigger fish to fry.
Walter Koenig is big-timing the producers of the cartoon. Don't hurt yourself. I got a guest appearance on Emergency. I've got to go film.
Nice. He had that Beatles haircut. He's got things going for him.
Yeah.
A lot of the things, like the photon torpedo sound... some of the background effects for the intro were taken from the transporters off the Enterprise. And it's because those effects were produced for the Filmation Star Trek series. So they already owned the rights to those sound effects.
And they just decided to use them for like another 15 to 20 years.
Absolutely.
Because they used all these same sound effects they used after, towards the tail end of this cartoon, they used for the Filmation Ghostbusters cartoon, which I was a big, big fan of.
That's correct, yes, same studio.
Yeah, same studio, same sound effects. Same...
And then there's that live-action Ghostbusters, Filmation Ghostbusters. Remember that?
Like, yeah, that was from the 70s, which predated, yeah. predated the Harold Ramis Ghostbusters, the
yeah.
Ivan Reitman's Ghostbusters.
There you go.
Put it that way.
Yeah, there you go.
I say that because I'm looking at a Ghostbusters poster as I'm talking to you.
That's a nice poster.
It's directly to the left of my TV, so...
Oh, these guys are terrible. The Mancheens are terrible. They look like those Captain Crunch guys. The
I was just gonna say the same thing. Yes, the mid 80s Captain Crunch.
Yeah.
They're like the soggy, not the soggies, but they had like
there
the, was like
the
a
evil
big
robots
machine.
That worked with the soggies.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing. Oh, I almost said it. I was like, nah, he would have no idea what I'm talking
oh,
about.
Oh, you know it.
I love you for that.
Come along, children.
These kids come from Earth, and we're just hanging out in, like, rural Vermont, and they're nonplussed by seeing, like, this pink thing that looks like a pea pod, and this guy with a skeleton face.
And their dad looks like Nacho Libre. That's all right. He looks like a cross. He's like a hybrid between Nacho Libre and Super Mario. I love it.
Skeletor had the best look and just the craziest voice, you know?
It's awesome.
I
love Hordak's smiles when he's that mischievous.
I had a lot of evil Horde figures.
Oh, really?
I know you did. Now, when you were a kid, did you have everything, or did you?
No.
I had a lot, but everything.
I got to pause. See, Jody, I own the DVD of this. I should have just put it in. Hang on. Okay, so here we go.
That horse talked. Hey, you know who really gets a short shrift in this? Battle Cat. Not to be seen anywhere in the show.
Yeah, he's back. He's busy trying to find a... He's digging in the cat box back at the Eternian Palace. Yeah, Hordak's voice is George DiCenzo.
Of course. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he passed away in 2010. But very iconic. He did a lot of different TV shows and movies and pretty impressive portfolio. Same thing with Alan Oppenheimer, his relative was the same Oppenheimer that worked on the Manhattan Project. I think it was his cousin. He worked on the atomic... Yeah.
This is the best part in the show right here.
Where he gets all nice.
Yeah, where he's getting... Yeah, no wonder he wants to get rid of Christmas. It sounds stupid. He doesn't say that, but...
Or something. The gifts blow up, right?
What does he say?
In the present... We open presents and they explode, right?
It's great.
I love it. Sorry, go ahead.
You're very kind. Don't you ever use that word around me.
I am not nice.
I am not nice. I am not kind.
There it is. That dog's a cyborg. It doesn't need to have heat.
No. It could get wet and rust up.
It shouldn't be shivering, though. Unless it's like the Universal Soldier dog or something where it overheats or gets too cold. I don't know. My daughter does that. Please, please. Yeah, I pretty much melt. I'm a pushover.
I'd like to see, like, do you think Skeletor would have been happier if eventually he just decided, like, I'm gonna use my power staff to just make coats?
Oh, the Havoc staff?
I am a good living doing that, being a tailor. What are you? You look at me about a size.
He lives in Snake Mountain rent free. I don't think he needs money. Besides, he can just use he makes blankets and pelts from a beast man.
Yeah, that part is great. Yes. Well, he could make a much happier existence if he just, you know, if he was an attorney and tailor.
Well, it's funny because he threatens to make, like, Beast Man a throw rug on a few different episodes. Give me that get in fights! That's awesome. Fights are fun! I like fights!
The nice thing about this special, too, is, I mean, like I said, some of the guys really, there's a lack of, you know, there's kind of a lack of the He-Man B characters.
Right.
But Skeletor's really the star here.
I thought it was cool. I like this part, though, where he, like, defends the kids. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
He's like, quick, get behind me! You know. So much for the snow beast!
He smiled.
Yeah.
I am not nice, I am not kind, and I am not wonderful.
Now, see, Skeletor has blue skin because he is a race. He comes from a race of people. They all have blue skin. In certain storylines.
Uh huh.
And Keldor, who is Skeletor before he became, he's the humanoid form of Skeletor. Skeletor is a mix of Keldor and Demo Man. So Demo Man is the reason why he has the skeleton face and more of the claws and that kind of thing. Because he's a mixture of that. I wish they would have made the toys for those Horde sleds. Those are pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like a Horde chariot.
Yeah, you could make like an... Like, I know there's a lot of army builders out there. I mean, those things would be pretty neat.
Now, did they make a figure of that Horde guy with a two-head... That stupid-looking robot with a two-head?
Yeah, that's Multibot.
Multibot.
It's the Filmation version of Multibot, yeah.
He's a Swiss Army knife of robots. He stinks. Well, it's like Skeletor has two beds, so he has Multibot.
Well, yeah, well, Skeletor had Modulok, which was the same kind of toy. If you bought the toy, there's like 1,000 different combinations. You could just, you know, put them in different, kind of piece them together in different ways.
That's enough for me. Don't you think instead of like these 48... This is He-Man's getting very excessive about.
What? Here, take the end of this. It's like flinging him off. It's like a bowling alley.
He spun that guy around and flung him. It was a little excessive. He could have just punched that guy out. He didn't need to grandstand like that. Ah, this is great.
I must save the children!
There's friend.
This is awesome. This stupid ship blows up inside. Horde Prime's on board. It's got SS Movable Feast. Looks like a fish or something.
I think Horde Prime is going to be angry with me. When you were a kid, what were your thoughts? Of course, and I don't know if most people know this or not, but of course there was that, was it in 87 with the He-Man reboot, the Space He-Man reboot?
Oh, that was 89 or 90.
Was it that late?
Yeah, because it was a different studio.
88, 89?
Yeah, 89, 90, yeah.
What were your thoughts on that?
Garbage.
Yeah. I remember as a kid, I went
into
Nichols, which was a department store.
The cartoon is okay, but don't call it He-Man.
Yeah, it's not. It just seemed like I didn't know who it was for, you know? I know when I was a kid, I remember walking into Nichols and seeing the toys, and I was like, I still played with my He-Man toys, some, and seeing them and like, oh, this looks lame. This isn't He-Man. He-Man doesn't look like this.
Nah, my brother got the He-Man toy, and I hated it. I was like, this is crap.
Yeah, it just seemed like a bit of an insult. It's like you'd alienate the kids that would already liked He-Man, and then conversely, it just, I don't know. At that point, too, He-Man, that's all Snellspot's good for.
Is he putting the star on the Christmas tree?
Yeah. At that point, it had kind of run its course, you know?
I think me, you, and Nick Garcia got laughing about that, or maybe it was Paul McGinty. I remember that was like, I think it was last year, but we got talking about Snout Spout, and I said I tweeted that picture to you guys.
It's the only reason he got an invite to the party.
Yeah, Mechanex, he's not invited. We have Snout Spout.
No, I don't remember. I don't even think it's a Stratos there. Did I?
Nah, he's too busy. Hatching eggs.
Listen, Stratos. Why does he hatch eggs?
Yeah, well, I don't. He's got that staff of Algeron or whatever it's called.
You stay with your people on that side of Eternia.
You are not welcome.
Yeah, their parents really do look like his dad really does look like Mario, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. A big gut. Look at that gut. Argyle sweater. It's like, oh my gosh. Boy, look at that spare tire. That turtleneck to hide the double chin. Yeah, you're not fooling me, buddy. That lady's out of his league. She's dressed up like an old piano teacher, but she's still out of his league.
No, we have these floating belts. That's okay.
I don't know where you got those things. It's so stupid.
Wah, wah.
I always felt that they should have invited Skeletor to the party.
Yeah, well, you know what? Maybe if they had, maybe it would have gone a long way to, like, burying the hatchet and turning his life around.
All right,
Skeletor, we're headed back to the Eternian Palace. You are not welcome for trying to murder us so many times. I like that Prince Adam just sitting around in an easy chair. All right, Orko, come sit on my lap, and I'll tell you the tale.
Nice. Well, you know, so I have a rather ambitious project. After I get my Knight Rider vehicle done,
what are you going to build? I'm going to build a functioning. I'm planning on rebuilding. Oh crap! I can't think of the name of it. You go ahead. Go ahead.
I think I'm going to. I got some stuff worked out in my mind. I want to build a full, like a 6-inch scale. Or maybe 5 3/4-inch scale of the Eternian Palace.
That's pretty cool.
And have each of the rooms. I have all the sketches for it from, like, the original concept art. And it's actually not that hard to do. Because you can use a lot of it. A lot of it was using the that foam board for the walls. And then you can use, like, modeling putty and stuff to kind of smooth it over, and then you file, you know, sand it down to make it more, you know, so you got the right angles and stuff, you know. I think it'd be cool.
I love that you have schematics for
I have everything.
I love that you have schematics for that. For the Eternian Palace.
Oh yeah, and I've got let's see, Castle Grayskull, Snake Mountain, and I got a few others thrown around there. It's pretty cool. I mean, you get to see the interior of Castle Grayskull a few times, you know. And I actually have from Mattel. I actually have a huge interior map of Castle Grayskull, every single room, everything, and I got that with my subscriptions I had to Maddie Collector back a few years ago. And they sent me a lot of free stuff. It was actually a really cool thing. I mean, super expensive, Jody. I mean, it's
sure.
It's through the roof expensive, but you're talking elite level of like collector figures. It's not like, you know, going down and getting like a cheap, you know, $6 Star Wars figure. I mean, this is like high end stuff, you know. I've got maps for every planet ever conceptualized in the Masters of the Universe world. I have, like, Etheria, Eternia. I've got the entire Horde Galactic Empire. I have everything. And they made maps for all this stuff. It's, like, crazy. Blows my mind. Yeah. It's pretty cool. Now, I don't know whatever happened to this movie they keep talking about that they don't, you know, and they said there wasn't going to be a Skeletor in it. And I'm like, how can you have He-Man without Skeletor? You know?
Yeah.
And I think Sony was the studio that was going to do it, but then it just dropped off. Maybe the guy got fired. I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's kind of been quiet as of late. They haven't started filming it or anything, right?
I wonder if they had some personnel changes and it got dropped. That's what I think.
Yeah, it might just be maybe still in the script process.
Yeah, and we know how that works. It's in there for, like, development hell for, like, the next 20 years, and then everyone forgets about it.
Right.
We'll be like in freaking Rascal Scooters by the time they get a chance to do on it. Another 40 years.
Well, we did it. We finished it.
We did it. It's not a long film. It's 44 minutes. It would be a lot longer if there were commercials like originally. It'd be about an hour. Largely, I mean, you know, people, you could take two stances on this. You've got people that criticize it for being cheesy, but it's like, well, but that's the whole point. The people writing these cartoons wrote those like that on purpose because they're for kids. It's not supposed to be serious.
Yeah, it's for kids.
Right. Yeah, and I guess it really burns my cork when you have like these, you know, these guys saying, "Oh, it's terrible," and you know, he's wearing furry underwear. It's like, yeah, he's a barbarian. You ever watch Conan the Barbarian, where you're making fun of Arnold because he was wearing those? I don't think so.
Well, it was a different... Here's the thing. It's hard to look at stuff like this now through adult eyes, and B, like... I mean, no offense, I know you're a big Master of the Universe fan, but, like, in 30 years, even cartoons for kids have come a long, long way as far as being, you know, hitting on all the right notes for kids, but being sophisticated for adults, too. Like, right. Batman and the Animated Series was a show like that. Like, everybody can enjoy that because it was a little more sophisticated. Whereas
right.
this show,
I can see
a little less sophisticated. But for what it is, and like you said, for being a, you know, being a kid's show, I think it's fun. It's a fun show. If you don't have an affinity for it, maybe it's probably a lot less fun. But
well, you know, the thing is like, as the regular cartoons, not even including this thing. There's actually some very dark episodes of the cartoon because they would have different writers doing a different episode, right? Now you'd have some folks that are like, okay, we want you this, 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 and this. Well, believe it or not, it was the Evil Seed episode from the Filmation series. That was actually written by the guy who worked on Hellraiser. Okay.
Wow.
So Evil Seed was actually, you know, his idea. And it's a dark, kind of a dark episode. It's kind of weird because I should say it's dark in a very weird way because he's got like King Randor and Queen Marlena and Man-at-Arms and Teela hanging from this tree and just sapping the strength out of them, you know? And it's like, but there's some really cool scenes in there, and I really appreciate what the writer said was at the end of that episode, like, Orko, Sorceress, He-Man, Skeletor, they all teamed up together and shot power at, they all shot power at, like, this meteor to make it snow, like this, and it was like, they all had to combine their powers, and it was cool, because, like, Skeletor hesitated, he's like, yeah, like that, and, because Skeletor's like, or He-Man's like, if you don't help us, there won't be any Eternia left to even argue over, pretty much, you know, and it was cool, and, you know, the writers, he's like, that was a big moment for me, I'm like, yeah, that's pretty cool, you know. They're all they're all combining their powers together. They stopped fighting for that instance and actually worked as a team. It was pretty cool. You know, and one can argue that, you know, if Skeletor sucks so bad at being a villain, you know, there's plenty of other worse villains they could have on Eternia that could take his place and he could be a good guy. But I don't think, but the comic relief's not there. You need to have him as a villain because he's a heel. And he's a funny heel because he's not trying to be. And because he's so inept. And it's just really cool. I like the characters a lot. And people call them cheesy, but, I mean, there are some episodes that are written very intelligently, and they're actually pretty good if people take the time to actually take those blinders of, you know, cheesiness off and actually see them for what they are. Because there's some of those where the comics certainly aren't cheesy. Those are pretty cool, you know, and it's... You know, it's fantasy meets science fiction. It's going to be, people can always say it's cheesy because it's not really that realistic. You know, I mean, we don't have hover belts or anything like that. But, you know, people don't like the morals that they'd have at the end of the cartoons and stuff. But I'm like, as an adult and I see those, it's like, I can honestly tell you, after watching those episodes, that's kind of shaped a lot of my thinking as far as treating people with respect and not... You know, I consider myself a very compassionate person, and I think a lot of it is not only from my upbringing, from my, you know, from my mom and stuff, my sisters and everything, but also watching shows like this. You don't have a cartoon these days that kids can watch where there's any kind of moral shared on there. It's kind of implied throughout the whole thing, but I guess what I'm trying to say is that, you know, I don't see those as cheesy. I think it's good that they put those at the end of these cartoons for the kids. Because there's kids watching those that didn't have parents that actually cared about them and actually taught them anything about being good to others and, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm in that camp.
I agree. I like the not dilemma, but the moral of the story at the end, similar as G.I. Joe did the same thing. I always thought that
exactly.
I mean, you remember that. It sticks with you. You think, oh, wow, barbecue. Yeah, barbecue told me not to turn on the oven. When my parents weren't home or I was going to burn down the house.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, it's the thing is, like, there's a few episodes where, like, you know, they talk about, like, on He-Man, they talk about drugs, like why you shouldn't use them. And
yeah,
that kind of stuff. I'm like, well, it's a kid's cartoon. But now, think about it. I mean, there obviously was a big problem with that in the 80s, so they put it on there.
Right.
You know? And it's... I don't know. I like the cartoon series. I think it did a lot of cool things. And I wrote in, like, the guest book online for, like, when Lou Scheimer passed away. I actually put that in there, like, hey, thanks for... You know, I'm appreciative of all the effort that he put into the show to make it suitable for kids and to... You know, there was a lot of backlash in the 80s about this show. There were some parents that were complaining that there was sorcery and, you know, demonic things being used in the show and everything. And, yeah, you could see it that way, but that was really to show good versus evil. And, if anything. And it certainly didn't affect me as a kid. I'm a nice person.
Well.
And I... Thanks.
Sure.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, okay, my brother and I were mischievous, okay, but, you know, we're generally, you know, nice to people. We try to be.
Oh, okay. Just kidding.
I know. Yeah. Well, this was definitely a jam-packed episode, Jody.
Of course, we had a lot going on.
Yeah. Yeah, I like doing these commentaries. They're pretty cool.
Yes, if we can find the right material and hit the right stride, and then that's what I think we did tonight, so that's good.
Yeah, and I think maybe next time we'll find something we both own on DVD or streaming so that we don't have commercials. It wasn't that.
I don't understand how you got so many commercials. I didn't get any.
It's because I buy so much stuff.
On YouTube?
No, but just probably Amazon and all that stuff. It's all linked, and it's like, they must think I'm Daddy Warbucks.
Well, that's what I think.
Oh, jeez. I'm the Conrad Thompson, right?
And the secret benefactor.
Well, hey, you know, it's people like me that keep this economy rolling. No, but yeah, that was really strange. Normally, I don't have that kind of interruption unless you're watching separate videos. So, must be my ISP, I guess. So, could be different. Just internet provider probably has a different agreement. Probably.
Do you have any plugs, sir?
Yeah, I've got some plugs. There's a fantastic podcast called the McSauce Podcast. I'm way behind on listening to their episodes because they're talking about things like Star Wars, which I was way behind on watching. So I'm going to be digging into those. I can't wait to hear their perspectives on that stuff. Because when those guys complain about something, they have good reasons. So do you. And they make sense why they have any misgivings or things to say good about movies that they watch. It makes sense. It's not just mindless lash outs. And that's what I like about their movie reviews. Another plug I'd like to put in there is Fireside Chat with Ryan McCormick. He's a cool cat. We got to get him back on the show. We got to get him back on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, that wrestling episode we did, I still listen to that again just because we had such a good time doing it. And I'll just sit there and laugh in my cube at work. If I'm having a bad day, I'll turn that baby on, and I'm just like, it makes it all better. It's good, you know. That's my Novocaine, you know.
Not the movie. Not the Steve Martin movie, right?
No. Yeah, and, you know, the thing is like, I'm just glad we're doing this. I'm glad we're doing a podcast. And
you know what?
We've had a lot of things fighting against us, and you know what? We're like bulldozers, man. We just make it happen. You know, and I think that obviously there's a lot of podcasts out there, but I'm glad we're doing this. I think we're making a difference. We're making a difference in the podcast universe. You know, we add something to it.
Well, we appreciate, there's a lot you could listen to, so we appreciate each and every person.
Absolutely.
That listens to us, too, that spend some time with us.
Yeah, it's excellent. And, yeah, so if you guys have any suggestions for future episodes or ones we've done in the past, things you like, things you don't like, please drop us a comment. Don't be afraid, you know, I'm not going to go, you know, get all depressed or anything like that. Jody's a happy-go-lucky guy. He's not going to really be deterred by it. Leave us some feedback. Give us some suggestions about what you guys want to hear. If you like just hearing us talk about stuff, that's okay, too. Because Jody and I, we could talk about anything. We could talk all day long. We could do a 10-hour podcast every day if we had the time. I mean, we would never run out of stuff to talk about. So, yeah. So, yeah. I think that's about all I got, Jody. You got anything?
The only thing I will plug is if you missed our last episode, I announced that if you want to support the show, then how about a T-shirt? From tpublic.com, just search Case in Point or Just in Case. Hey, you can even search my name, Jody Yerden, and both of our designs will pop up. The design you see, one of them is the design you see in your podcast feed, and the other is a Next Generation-esque design. It's our secondary logo. So
for you sci-fi folks.
Yeah, so if you like the show, you want to support the show, and you want to show the world that, hey, I like to listen to He-Man and She-Ra Christmas special commentaries, then get the shirt and let people know we're out there. We appreciate it.
And we will be having a website forthcoming, folks. We're going to have
a website. I didn't know that.
Dink.
I didn't know that.
I'm unveiling it, okay? Well, we're going to have a website going forward. It's going to be a hub for all of our various things that we're doing. And so I'm really excited about that. So keep your eyes peeled for that, guys. Guys and gals. And well, with that, thank you for listening. And we'll catch you next time. And Happy New Year. We'll be right back.